This week, again, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Hi, this is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this word that's before us. We thank you for the fact that the scripture tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we think of the Word that was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. We thank you, Father, that he was full of grace and truth, eternity past and eternity future. We pray, thanking you in his name, for this chance to open your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. And again, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at verses 8 to 13 again. And instead of spending a lot of time in the specific qualifications, since they are quite similar to what we looked at with the oversight with the elders in the previous week of study, let's just quickly look through and notice a little different terminology, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 6 and look at some tremendous illustrations there by men such as Stephen, ones as we looked at yesterday that were servants of God. And we see here that when it speaks of not being given to much wine, of course, Scripture tells us to be filled with the Spirit and not drunken, and we see that is quite clear, or it ought to be for the servant of God or for any believer in Christ, that we should be filled with the Spirit of God and things of Him and His person. We know that when you're saved, you're filled with the Spirit of God into the day of redemption, but as far as it being practically shown in your life, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And as well, it holds true for those that are working in this area of being a deacon, for they are an example unto the others. We see also that it says that they must first be proved, to let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. Even so, it goes on, speaking of them being faithful in all things. We could move down and see in verse 6 of chapter 4, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Faithfulness. One day, any of us that know Christ, our desire should be that we should hear one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, whether you're a shepherd of the flock, one of the elders, or whether you're one of the deacons, or if your area of ministry is in something that's not very obvious to the people, it's not a public area of service, my friend, that is the desire that you should have, is one day that he will be counting you faithful for your service to the person of Christ, that our motives might be right, and that our service would be unto him. And we're just kind of looking through now at the different areas of qualifications for deacons. Again, it's quite similar to those in the oversight, speaking of how they need to have a home, that their children are ruled well, that they have obedient children, and goes on to say that they, being in the office of a deacon, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Tremendous illustrations here, or rather exhortation for those that are to serve the Lord. We mentioned when we looked at the previous week of those in oversight, we saw that this area of behavior that's listed, as we call the qualifications, really when you apply that to any Christian, is good basis for a Christian life. We know that we're not living under the law. We know that we're not living in a certain set of rules and regulations to obtain salvation. Salvation is by grace alone, by faith in Christ alone. But we see here that the Bible does show us what is good behavior for those that know Christ. And you take these qualifications for the oversight and the qualifications for the deacons, and many of these things listed here are areas that if me, you, any Christian is not holding to, whether you're an elder or a deacon or not, it would indicate that there might well be sin in your life. For if it says not to be slanders, not to be a brawler, not to be one given to much wine, any of these things, not to be double-tongued, but to be grave, to have faith and a pure conscience. These are things that if we're not holding to, we are in sin. So yes, this is qualifications for those that are deacons and elders in verses 2 on down to verse 13. But my friend, any of us that are saved need to yield to these great exhortations of behavior. Are we found blameless to those that are without? To those that are not saved, do they bring shame upon the name of Christ by what they see in our lives? Or are they convicted that there is someone that is holding to what they say? Really ought to make us think. These qualifications are set forth to the deacons in verses 8 to 13 and to the elders in verses 2 to 7. But we see that there are tremendous examples of behavior for every one of us that are the children of God. Let us look to hold to them and turn now to Acts chapter 6. And we see here, verse 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not a reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now the word serve here is the word minister. I emphasize the word because it's the same word as we looked again in the Greek yesterday, number 1247 in your Strong's Concordance. It means it's the word for deacon, to serve, to minister. And here in verse 2, these ones were saying, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And it goes on and says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they sent before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, we see in verse 8. Let's look at Stephen. Stephen, again, it says, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. We see here in the early parts of Acts, where the transition period, we see the book of Acts as a great transition period when the people that were coming out of Judaism had turned to Christ, and they were in the transition period, if you will, of learning things of the church age, the being taught by such as Paul the Apostle, of what we have here in the church age of this dispensation. And we find here is one of the things that's brought out in the early church. Those that would be ministers, servants, to help those that are in oversight so that those in oversight could minister the word. We have the deacons. The word deacon is not mentioned in the English, but again, the word serve, it's the same word in the original. So we see here Stephen. What a man of faith. You know, we could turn and look here in chapter 7 where Stephen has a tremendous address to the people. And he goes on and mentions people such as Abraham and Joseph and Moses. What a tremendous exhortation to these men. And of course, at the end of chapter 7, they had not ears to hear. They did not want to hear the words of this man Stephen. He was proclaiming the word of God, and we see when we come down to verse 51, after he reminds them of all the Old Testament fathers, and he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have you not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which show before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of the angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Here is one of the original, what we say, first deacons in Acts 6. And what do we see? The man proclaiming the word of God. Oh, he was mentioned as well as one that should help serve tables and help in the practical things. These practical things that were needed. The widows needed to be ministered to. Yet we see this man, Stephen, giving such a tremendous statement, a tremendous message. And it was so convicting that these men that had not turned to Christ stoned him. And one interesting thing is it was before a man named Saul. This man Saul would become the Apostle Paul. Paul, one of the great apostles, servants of the Lord, was there, and they put their coats at this man's feet, and he watched the stoning of Paul, of Stephen. What a conviction. We move on in the further parts of Acts and see how Paul was saved and gave his testimony. He must have been thinking tremendously in the later parts of his life of how he was there consenting to the death of Stephen. What a thought. A man full of faith, Stephen. So we see that a deacon is not limited to this or that area of service. Here we see one of the early servants, also a man of God that preached the word, and he was a martyr. In fact, the first martyr for Christ recorded in the New Testament, as far as in the church age. Praise God for men like Stephen, full of faith. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll continue with this thought and look at the man Philip that's also found here with Stephen in this chapter 6 of Acts. But we'd also like to move on to verses 14 and 15 in our study in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and move on as well to verse 16 at the end of the week with that glorious look at our Lord and Savior, the one who, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry, P.O. Box is 689 in Ramsour, North Carolina, 27. 7316 for any questions or comments. We would appreciate hearing from you.